Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. I've literally been having the best week as I've just completed my free 3-day challenge and then my masterclass, and now I am in the middle of launching my new program, which is how to make more money in your business. And it's really exciting, all of those are signing up. I can't wait to teach you how to make more money in your beauty business. If you do want more information on that, then please let me know and I shall share the deets. Anyway, today on the show, I have Joshua B. Lee, and he is basically the king of LinkedIn. He talks a lot about, in our episode, personal branding, what we should and shouldn't do. We talk about LinkedIn and how we're actually missing out as an industry. It was really interesting, the things that I learned in this episode. So I'd highly recommend you check it out, take notes, join LinkedIn, connect with Joshua and me, and see how LinkedIn helps your business. So without further ado, here he is.
Hi everyone, I'm Savvy and I can show you how to increase your revenue stream in just 3 simple steps. If you've got an existing client base or you're looking to build one, why not take a look at the show notes to find out more and let's get talking.
Joshua, welcome to the Life of KG. Thank you very much for taking time out. I know it's really early where you are. How are you doing?
Katie, I am amazing. I'm excited to be here today. And no matter what time of the morning, I mean, like, look, I'll be honest, like, it's not as early. Like, I've done podcasts like overseas sometimes, and I'm starting them at 4 a.m. And let me tell you, it's fun trying to be with. So it's 8 a.m. here in Austin, Texas. So not too bad. It's just got the kids off to school and now I get to hang out with you.
I love that. I mean, sometimes do you not think, how the hell is this our job? Like, I just love it. Of course we love jumping on at whatever time and just chatting to people.
You know, I mean, that's what it all is. I mean, like, to be able to just to have for you and I to have a conversation and potentially, you know, just share some insights and honestly just through our conversation, someone be able to garnish something that will help affect their lives. Like, dude, it's amazing. Like, that's all I want to be able to do is to be able to show others that it's better to be open and honest and 100% transparent of who we are in hopes that we can be able to, you know, affect the lives on a positive scale of someone else. So yeah, excited for our conversation.
Definitely. So give us a quick intro, who you are, what you do.
Well, Katie, you know, I talked about a little bit. So I know that you had talked about your audience being a little bit more on the Instagram and Facebook side. You know, a lot of the people know me from LinkedIn. I had done a podcast a couple years ago. And so I have been given the title, the dopamine dealer of LinkedIn. But I'll be honest, it didn't start with LinkedIn, right? I started my career many years ago, over 20 now. So it's almost funny when I start going into it, because my wife always says when I talk about my first client, it really ages me, because most people don't guess that I'm a little bit older than I come off to be, because one of my first clients was a company that a lot of people forgot about, MySpace.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So MySpace was one of my first clients way back in 2003. And I actually helped them develop one of the first social media ads that a lot of social media is based off of today to be able to help monetize their traffic. So, you know, it goes back, right? Trying to be able to go on those whole piece. And, you know, I created multiple different companies and worked with them for a long time, you know, being able to monetize over 35 trillion online impressions. I've controlled over $500 million worth of advertising. And, you know, throughout that whole career, for me, what I learned really quickly was there's a huge difference between actually traffic and actually true engagement, right? How do we actually engage with another human being? And that's kind of where I find myself today. I went through a reset a couple of years ago and got out of the just monetizing business, right? And was like, how do I educate, inspire, and draw people in? How do we really add value? How do we actually help everyone rise up together? And that's kind of where today Standard Authority was born. Being able to go through and helping people humanize their experience online through the vehicle that most people don't get, which is LinkedIn.
So your day-to-day now then is what, helping people on LinkedIn? I know you do a lot to do with branding.
Yeah. Well, we get to, you know, the cool thing is once I kind of realized and, you know, pulled back, Katie, because so many people kind of go in when they look on social media, they go, okay, well, what's the LinkedIn algorithm? What's the Instagram algorithm? What's the Facebook? What's the new next trick? What's the new hack, right? Like, how do we actually beat the algorithm? And that's exhausting. And I mean, that's kind of where I kind of looked at, you know, growing up being an only child, like one of the biggest things that I learned was how to actually connect with other human beings, right? How to be able to understand and read them. And going through all that traffic, when I went through my reset as well, and I'll be honest, my first reset, like I was going to be a life coach, right? I had the man bun, the mala beads, you know, the pendulum had really swung. But then I realized I need to pair the two and realize, understand that there's the human algorithm that most people miss out on that doesn't change every couple months, every couple weeks. It really stands the test of time. And so like once I did that and started really connecting with that, I got to start working with men and women. I used to read their books on how to be able to start my own companies 20 years ago. And now I help them really first and foremost, Katie, like it's how do I help them build advocates first? And allow that byproduct become clients. And that's through that, not B2B or B2C, right? Business to business or business consumer, but truly H to H, human to human. Because biggest thing I see each and every day, still to this day, most marketers forget every company is run by another human being.
Because do you not think like now in like the 21st century, it's all about automation and making life easier for you, scheduling and all of that jazz, and actually people are forgetting that personal touch isn't then coming across if everything, or there's a bots every 5 minutes popping up. On I mean, for me receiving like bot messages or automation,
well,
stuff
you see
the
them
time,
like you just, can tell that your audience can tell,
yeah, it just puts me off.
Yeah, and that's that whole piece, right? And I think this is where you're going, Katie, like because we've got ChatGPT and the AIs and everything like that. Like even before that, you know, we all hear this whole, you know, saying content is king. Guess what? Content's not king anymore. Quality is queen, right? And that's the biggest thing. Like, how does quality stand out? Because so many of us go through, like, if we think in real life, how many times, Kitty, have you ever been like gone on Netflix? I know my wife and I will go on Netflix on a Friday and like, man, there's nothing to watch. BS, there's too much to watch. We've got an overload of information. Now add in bots and content and all this other stuff. Like there's so much. So that's the biggest thing. Like you were talking about, that human touch is what allows us to be able to then connect with that audience, because bots can't mimic human emotion, right? Mm-hmm. They can try, they can go through, they can grab knowledge, information, but as human beings, we make decisions emotionally. We make decisions based on some degree of love or hate. We do not make decisions based on being indifferent to something. And that's just like, that's the biggest problem. Like so many people are just putting out content for content's sake, not trying to be polarizing, not trying to be able to allow themselves to show up, but who they think everyone wants them to be. And then they're not only wasting their time, they're wasting the audience's time. And that's the one resource we don't get back.
There's an example on this actually is there's a coach in my industry that actually I would love to work with as a salon owner on my other business. And yeah, every time I reach out, a bot replies and I'm like, for fuck's sake, I just want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to this bot. And then every single angle I try and speak, you got to go down this hole, and then there's like selling courses and this and that. And I'm like, I just want to speak to either her or someone that works with her.
It's a real person. How many times do I hit zero or this or that, like trying to get in? Yeah, it's horrible.
Yes, we're going to come back to like branding and marketing and that in a little while, but
of course,
tell me, like, how did you get into business in the first place? Did you always want to do that as a child? What was kind of your journey and story behind that?
It's funny. I mean, you know, I look back and I would say like some of my first time of doing this kind of stuff, like entrepreneurial, right, would be like, you know, in like middle school, I used to sell candy out of my locker, right? Like massive upside because my parents would buy the candy and then I'd sell it. So I had 100% profit. It was amazing, right? To be able to kind of go through. But my mom said she saw it even earlier. Like it was funny because she would even kind of say that at an early age, I wanted to go to summer school and she couldn't understand why until the teachers called back and realized that I was learning how to play cards and different things like that and figuring out ways how to earn money from the other kids. So I guess that kind of spirit has like kind of always been in me to be able to kind of go through them. But I think the bigger problem was, Katie, that I think I was taught the wrong things at an early age, right? It was all about the money, trying to be able to, how do we monetize? How do we take advantage? How do we understand the situation to leverage it in our favor? Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time building multiple different companies, being able to go through and going through life till I realized it wasn't about that. Right. And for me, that was a big shift, because building the business I did, growing up, doing the things that I did was good. But I mean, like, I never had that true, I wasn't building those true connections. And so I think that's the biggest shift with being an entrepreneur these days, is you've got to not only know your, and this is, we can go to personal branding, right? Your personal brand, being able to go through, it's not just what people know about you, it's what you know about yourself. Right. And that's the combination of those two that truly allow that brand to be able to stand out. And as an entrepreneur, I think most people try to understand their audience, but they forget to be able to understand who they are at the same time and allow those two to pair. Hopefully yeah. I didn't go totally off subject there.
No. I absolutely love it. I mean, I keep on wanting to talk about different things as well, because talking about personal branding, like, I absolutely love personal branding.
And but, you do it amazing. Yeah. I before the podcast, I would think, I mean, this is how you and I connected. I saw the stuff that you were doing and I was like, oh my God, she's doing awesome stuff. I'd love to be able to have a conversation with her. And then you were like, cool, I'll talk to you too, Josh. So
yeah, definitely. Like I said, you have to, everyone's got a story, right? And it's about digging deep of what that story is and being just open to share that to people and getting people to resonate with that story and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And then people will buy into that in turn, because they like you. They don't buy from a company, they'll buy from that person behind it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that, because I always kind of use the reference, right? Like, unless someone's like a car person, and I know, you know, maybe this is probably not the audience, but again, it doesn't matter, right? Because if I said Mercedes, Porsche, or Tesla, what name comes to mind? Elon Musk. Most people have that name pop in their head. Even though Mercedes and Porsche have been around for decades longer, no, most people don't know who's running those companies or who the people behind those brands are. And there's a reason why Tesla's been able to take that market share, be able to go through, because of that personal brand, and people connect with that person. Polarizing or not, love them or hate them, that you still have to be able to have that personal brand, because to be able to have advocates, people that love you, you at the same time have to be 100% yourself. So you can have haters too, and that allow those advocates to really stand up and stand out for you.
Personal branding is like a word that we hear quite a lot now. Would you say that over time marketing's changed to be more about personal branding, or do you think that's something that was missing years ago, or people just didn't talk about years ago?
I don't think people looked at it, right? We now more than ever post COVID, like, this is what people want to do. We miss that human connection, that human touch, being able to go through. And I think it's taken a new evolution. And this is what people have to understand. It's not being able to connect with a brand. Yeah, we used to connect with brands, right? We could go through. We all know, like, Coca-Cola or Gap, or, you know, some of these other brands that have been around forever. But now, people are looking for the humans behind it, right? Do I align with their values? Do I align with the person that's there? Because that's what I want to be able to do. Because we have we didn't have as many options as companies. Now there's so many companies, so many options of the exact same thing. Well, what do I want to buy? How do I want to invest? Well, I want to back the person that actually is that's what I align with. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more people doing. And if people don't pay attention to this, because, you know, Katie, this is the whole thing too, right? We continue to be able to see people try to perceive what other people perceive about them. And honestly, that's what drives most people crazy. We have no clue what someone else's perception is until they tell us. And so trying to be something that we're not online usually attracts the wrong tribe, right? And that's what we need to be able to understand. We want to be able to attract our tribe. So this is where that understanding, we talked about personal branding, right? Not only what other people think about you, but knowing yourself. And it's the combination of those two, and taking that and having that show up is what will really not only take yourself to the next level, your brand to the next level, and everything from there, and allow you to be able to truly create massive, not only to sell things, but create shifts and changes in this planet.
I think people become quite vulnerable when they're sharing like their personal journeys and their stories. And then obviously people are fearful that there's going to then be haters that get to know them and say horrible things online, or just people just having an opinion.
Yeah.
That just comes with the territory, right? But how would you say to deal with that? Because it's obviously not nice. And especially in our industry, women industry, being in the beauty space, it's sometimes bound to happen.
It does. And it sucks. I mean, I work with a lot of amazing women with LinkedIn too. And I see some of the messaging that honestly, there's nasty people out there send to some of them. So women, especially even on LinkedIn, right? A business platform. And it's horrible that people have that. But I mean, the biggest thing that we have to understand when people put that message, I hate to say it in this way, but we have to drink that quote unquote haterade, right? We have to be able to take that in and allow that to be able to happen, because people are going to be able to do that. We can't allow it to affect us. And the biggest thing that I always say is, you know, thank you for your opinion. Have the day that you're intended to have, right? And again, it's like, if you're going to have a negative attitude toward it, you're probably going to have a negative day. So if that's what you're intending, I wish this, you know, have that day that you're intending to be able to have, because you're starting it off on a negative aspect. And, you know, if we continue to be able to show up, most times we're not going to have to be, if we continue to show up and start drawing that tribe in, Katie, it's not going to have to be us having to defend ourselves. Our tribe, our advocates that align with us will be there to help defend us for. And then that's together, we will grow as a community to be able to fight these negative individuals that are out there, because we don't know what they're going through. And that's the biggest thing. We're like, oh, how could they say that thing? I tell my kids this all the time, Katie, like, you know, like, oh, so-and-so said this. Like, dude, you don't know, man. He might have, you know, something bad happens, you know, something going on with his family, with his parents. You know, he might've had, and he's just taking down on you. And because we just see that front side of that those nasty comments, we have to be able to try and at least just say, look, that's their experience. And we have to allow them to be able to have that and not allow it to be able to change our daily experience on a regular basis.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. You said about resetting your businesses. Meaning to the audience, did you close them down? Did you just rebrand? Like what was the meaning behind that?
Yeah. You know, it was a interesting time, because at that point in my life, this was about 9 years ago, Katie. I was, you know, outside looking in, I was successful, right? What's everyone's basis of success? Monetary value, right? How much money you're making. But outside looking in, I didn't feel that way, because I had built the companies the wrong way to be able to monetize first, right? Not impact. And so how I built that company, I mean, I had gotten 40 pounds overweight. I'd never been overweight in my life. My friends had become monetary. They were around because I spent a lot of money being able to go through. And I had no vision about where I was going. I just knew where I was at. It was that whole work-life balance that we're all fed all the time. Well, I'm going to be honest, balance is bullshit, right? Because I mean, like, there's no growth in balance. And I mean, that's the biggest thing for me was, I remember, Katie, because I mean, I had my two kids and I was trying to be able to be better for them. But at the same time, like, I started working at the house, being around my kids as a young age, and I was one of my doors open. And I still remember to this day, that day that those doors shut to my office. And I remember spending time in that office, just staring at the wall for 8 hours a day, because that office had not only become a sanctuary for me, but a coffin that honestly, I was contemplating if the money I would leave for my kids would be better for them than me. Mm. And that was a tough time in my life. And just in the place that I had gotten, and I see so many entrepreneurs, so many people get there because they're taught the wrong things. I was very blessed. I had a good friend of mine, Jesse Elder, that honestly gave me permission. And sometimes we just need that from someone else, permission to be able to not only take back my life, but to give my former hers. And so through that whole piece, I went through a divorce. My lawyers had told me it was going to take a couple years to go through because of the different companies that we have. And I realized, I said, look, I don't want to put my kids through this. We can always make more money. We can't make more time. So I shut down all my companies. And honestly, I gave everything to my former. And at 36, I moved back in with my parents with a little bit under $1,000 in my name to be able to write the biggest thing I cared about was the kids. And so that's kind of where it was. And that was my reset. And, you know, it was really eye-opening because at first it was freeing, but at the same time too, it was a new experience. Like I hadn't been in there in it. And I did go through a little slight mini depression that continued on. But the biggest shift for me to be able to come out to where I am today was to realize that I talked about it a little bit before. My perception of other people's perception was driving me crazy. And so for that whole aspect, I had to be able to shift. I had to start showing up 100% me, 100% of the time on and offline, and just be like, forget the person I was, be the person I am now. And that's kind of where I started taking a step forward and my life started changing. And I started making it about the other people rather than always trying to be able to play to my past.
So you mentioned about success. Obviously, a lot of people would say that's monetizing. What does success mean to you now that's all happened?
Success to me is, you know, one, being able to create the time and space that I get to be able to, you know, have fun and enjoy time with my kids, to be able to have the choice to be able to work with the people that I want to be able to work with, to be able to honestly go show up every day, like on LinkedIn, like, all I do, the best thing I try to be able to do every day, it's give it all away, right? I want to educate, inspire, and draw people in, right? And that success is me. If I can be able to do that and people choose to want to work with me rather than me having to sell someone to work with me, that's success, right? I mean, I give everyone the keys. If they want to get there faster, they'll choose, hey, Josh, I'd love to be, rather than me having going, hey, Katie, do you want to be able to take my product and go through my service or hire me? Like, that's success. And, you know, success is, we talked about earlier too, right? Getting the time daily, weekly, to be able to spend time with amazing humans like yourself and be able to share my story in hopes that it will just affect at least one life by someone actually out there knowing they're not alone. They're not the only one going through this. And there are other people. And if they just want to reach out, there's opportunity to be able to change and shift where they're at now.
Hi, I'm Demi.
And I'm Rachel.
We are two friends who joined forces in 2020 to create Lash & Brow Lab, a specialist lash and brow salon in Battersea.
Lash & Brow Lab is the home of our combined 10 plus years of expertise, where our sole aim is to offer you bespoke top tier treatments that make you feel truly special.
Follow us on Instagram at Lash & Brow Lab Clapham.
Or check out our website, www.lashbrowlab.co.uk.
Well, but if someone's feeling like that currently at the moment, like you was, who would you say to reach out to? Because sometimes friends and family don't understand, or they might not necessarily have that them business connections around them. Yeah. So who would you say would be their go-to for some help?
It's shifting your circle of influence, right? The people that are around you. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like for me, when I was growing my businesses, most of the people that I surrounded myself with that in the beginning stages were men and women that I grew up with, right? Friends that were going in, and they were comfortable being around me, working for me. It was a different mentality. And so that's what you have to be able to do, is look for other people that are striving to be able to change, that have gone through. There's so many different groups. Like one of the groups I'm part of right now, Katie, that I love, a good friend of mine, John Vroman, runs it. It's called Front Row Dads. And it's about being a dad first and an entrepreneur second. Mm. And so just having, you know, other guys to be able to talk to what's going on, because that's that whole piece. And it's amazing to be able to kind of go through, like my wife now, right? Like, and this is that piece. There are so many people out there, if you just look, that are going through the same experiences that you are. And so that's where I push you to be able to look for someone that's going through the same experience or went through it. Because even my wife now, right, we just went through IVF, and, you know, it was a long time, and a lot of women don't talk about the struggles and the pains that kind of go through that aspect. And guess what? We've got positive news that's coming out soon. And, you know, it's amazing, but she felt alone because so many women didn't talk about the struggles that they were going through. And she found a group, and it made her feel okay, that she wasn't alone. So that's where I push everyone to be able to go through, right? There's people out there. You're not alone. If you just look online, if you search, if you just put it out there, hey, this is something I'm going through, I guarantee you someone's going to reach out and say, hey, me too, right? And then there's an open conversation. You might not know them directly now, but those experiences are what bond us. You know, commonalities, that's what we look for. And we just have to be open to be able to share them.
Well, beautiful news for you and your wife. Congratulations. Yeah. And touching on your wife, you two work together, right?
We do. We do. My amazing wife, Rachel Beely, right? Like they are, we're the Beelys. It just kind of happened that everyone's like, wow, you guys are great at branding, right? Like Joshua Beely and Rachel Beely. And I'm like, well, her last name was Bronstein. So when we got married, she moved to Mitchell, just happened. And then lo and behold, we started working together. So, you know, it's amazing because, you know, we might talk about branding, but honestly, Katie, she is the branding lady boss. I mean, she teaches me half the things that I know, if not more. And I feel very blessed because her background worked in, you know, she was working on the corporate side, working for companies like Microsoft, being able to run the branding for the Microsoft Partner Network, and companies like Gartner running the branding for their digital markets. And so now, you know, we get to be able to work together and to be able to create that one life, right? It's not about that work life or that personal life. Cause I think that's the biggest thing that really, you know, really upsets people, that her work life balance thing, because they try to live two different lives. Right. Yeah. And I mean, what I continue to be able to see is there's not two different lives. Like having two different lives is like having two different personalities. If we had two different personalities, we're going to be locked up in a insane asylum. Like we're going to take a medicine, right? There's all kinds of things. Like we have that one life. And so that's the beautiful thing now, is I truly do get to be able to live that one life with my wife. And people go, dude, how do you do that? How do y'all, that's crazy. And I'm like, well, communication. It's the biggest thing, right? So, yeah.
Oh, I adore that. So what would you guys say is branding? Like, I think a lot of my listeners might get confused on what branding is, or they just think it's their name. Like what is branding?
We talked about it. We touched about it. I'll continue to say it. It's, you know, it's not only how others see you, but how you see yourself and being able to, how you actually show that up. Branding is showing up 100% of the time, 100% yourself on and offline, right? Branding is everything, every conversation that you have, right? How do you relate to your product? How you're sharing your stories, right? People relate to commonalities. They want to be able to hear. Like when we kind of talk about being able to go on branding and talk about it, the biggest thing is people talk about their products, like, and they go through, they want to know why you relate, who relates to it, right? Who are the people that are aligned? And I think for me, that's branding, right? Being able to tell stories that people can align with and be able to see that speaks to how you've helped other people. Because most people kind of go in and talk about their brand on what they can do for someone else. No one cares what they can do, right? I want to know what you've done for someone else so I can be able to understand and be able to see that and be able to align with that story. Branding is the emotional connection that people make, not only to yourself, but to your brand and to your product, right? What's the outcome? I always kind of tell people that the easiest way to be able to go through them, and for us, we talk about this for our LinkedIn headlines, because most people, even on branding, they'll go in like, well, I'm a free podcast host, or they might say owner, business owner, or sales rep, whatever it might be. But what you should be saying is customer facing forward. And this is the best way to be able to do your brand. I help X to achieve Y so they can have Z. I help X, your ideal client, right? It really polarizes, allows people to understand that's me or not, right? Mm-hmm. I help X to do Y. The biggest problem in branding and sales that most in marketing, most people, they sell the service. You have to tell people what you do, but no one buys because of the service, right? They buy because of that Z. I help X to achieve Y so they can have Z, the outcome, the emotional connection. What do they get by working with? And when you can get that statement, I help X to achieve Y so they can have, so they can achieve, so they can be Z, that's the true brand. That's where people go, that's me. I want that. Oh my God, I would love that outcome.
Mm. Yeah. Because back in the day when I first started in business, 14, 15 years ago, branding was all about your logo, your colors, your strap line.
Of course.
Does all of that still matters now, or like not?
Look, you can have I've seen web pages that just look like junk, but because of the value that they add, because the advocates they have associated, because the tribe they've built by just being able to show up, I mean, you don't need that anymore. I mean, like you can just be able to go through branding, you know, you can use Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You don't even have to have a website these days to be able to have those things. So it's not as important as the message, as that what you're trying to be able to present out to people. And I think the biggest thing is most people miss out. Like back then, right? It was like, how do we actually make this so like look overproduced, crisp and clean? I'm going to be honest, in social media these days, unless you're a household name that people know around the world, if I see overproduced, I'm waiting for the sales pitch, right? Mm. I think these days, branding that really works is real and raw, right? Not overproduced. And I think that's the shift that people are looking for. They're looking for the real, real.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I agree. Let's talk.
I mean,
a
of course,
bit.
It looks amazing. Like, you know, I love, you know, you've done amazing on the branding, but we got to be able to start out, right? Like you and I, of course, yeah, our logos look great. You know, we our sites are great, but at the same time too, that's not as important now, but it is once you hit certain levels, then you get to that point. But don't make that your first thing. People go, well, I can't start my company until I get the perfect logo. There's no perfect logo.
Which I think it did used to be like that. Like, okay, I want a business. Now I'm going to do a logo. What are my colors going to be? What is my website? What is my headline? Like all of that would have been the first steps you look at. But now it's just no one goes, oh, that's a great logo. Let's sign up with her.
No. They look at that. They look at your social media. They want to be able to see how you're showing up, how you're representing, what people are saying about you, all these other things. I think that's more important. I mean, that's the brand that I want to be able to do. People aren't looking at your logo. They're going to Google to search your name, right? Search your brand. And, you know, they're going to Instagram, they're going to LinkedIn. I mean, these are the different places, the social media. How are you showing up there? If you're showing up fake and junky, you've lost the battle before it even started.
Why did you choose LinkedIn as your main platform? I think most of those in my industry would go to Instagram or Facebook, but part of me thinks, are we missing a trick?
Well, LinkedIn's going to be one of the bigger platforms as you see continue to move forward. You know, like, look, Microsoft bought LinkedIn a couple of years ago. They're one of the biggest companies in the world. They've been around for the longest, right? So betting against them, it's a pretty hard bet, right? I mean, like, we can continue to see like Meta and things like that go up and down based on how they kind of play in the world. But for me, I saw it as an opportunity to be a light in a dark space, right? Because most people on there, they're just talking about their business and selling and talking about themselves all the time. But when you actually go on a platform where most people forget about the human beings, they go, oh, it's a B2B platform. No, it's a H2H platform. It's human to human, because that's how we connect. That's how you show up on LinkedIn. You can be a light in a dark place. And so that was the opportunity. I want to be different. And for me too, the average income, right? Like when I look at different platforms and stuff like that for who I want to be my product, my ideal person that I want to be able to hire, or that I want them to hire me. It's one, like if you look at like Facebook, and I think Facebook these days is around, average income is around $64,000 a year US. I think Twitter's around like $58,000 US. LinkedIn, the average income is around $120,000 a year. So average income is almost double most platforms. And so that means they have just more disposable income. The other aspects of it are, on that platform, 50% or more of the people have a college degree or higher, so have an educated audience. And last, 4 out of 5 people on that platform are business decision makers. So for me, they have the money to be able to afford the product. They have the education to be able to understand what they want, and they can actually make the decision to make the purchase. That's a win-win-win. So that's kind of why we're on that platform, to be able to go in. And I think, I mean, like with your audience, like there's definitely an opportunity to be able to go on there. There's don't sleep on LinkedIn with the things that they're going through, what they're going through to be able to do, especially with Microsoft being able to purchase, invest, I should say, $10 billion recently in OpenAI that runs ChatGPT. Like LinkedIn is already a massive, massive opportunity to be able to get indexed on that one platform we all want to be on, is Google. Because we all know, most people know that Pinterest is a search engine, YouTube is a search engine. LinkedIn's one of the most powerful search engines because Google indexes it at 100 out of 100. So all the content you're putting out there, your profile, all these things, not only are you showing up on LinkedIn, but you're showing up higher and higher on Google. So take that opportunity. If that's already happening, if you don't think that indexing is going to happen with OpenAI, with LinkedIn, you're crazy too. So all this AI content that's coming out, you want to be able to show up in that, you want your results, you better start creating content and showing up on that platform.
I know loads of people are going to go, what is AI?
It's here. It's not going anywhere, right? But we have to realize it's not the end all. It will be a tool that we need to be able to use, but don't just think it's going to do everything for everyone.
Because I always teach that don't forget Google. Like, Google is still a really big search engine. People 100%. Spend their time on Instagram isn't a search engine, is it?
Mm-mm,
no, which is like everyone's spending their time on there. And I'm like, that's not Nothing's searchable indexed. At all. No.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, actually, that I didn't know that LinkedIn was a search engine. And I think
you don't have to take the content differently, you know, Katie. Like, you can take similar content that you post on Facebook and Instagram and be able to do that, just adjust it slightly. And I mean, you don't want to put those videos like, hey, Instagram, or hey, Facebook, like, adjust it. I always see those people on other platforms like, okay, adjust your video a little bit. But like, you can take that same content and still show up. And I mean, the cool thing is, Katie, like on LinkedIn, like those platforms like Facebook and Instagram, they want you to post multiple times a day. Mm. I'm going to tell you that on LinkedIn, you can get a higher level of audience. And surprise, surprise, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to post as much. You've got to post like minimum 3 times a week to be able to get the results that you want to be able to see in front of the right people at the right time.
Yeah, because I must admit, I've been in LinkedIn for years, but very, very rarely used it. And recently I have been just adjusting my post and copy and pasting it onto LinkedIn. And the amount of new people I'm connecting with is actually amazing. And I think those in the beauty and hair space will go, but I'm not going to be able to find clients there. Well, actually, after what you've said with what people's average spends are on there, why wouldn't you want to be in people's faces on Instagram? Because they're perfect clients that are going to keep coming back.
Every single time. And I mean, that's the whole piece. I mean, like, beauty and hair, so it's like, why not? Like, those are human beings. Guess what? I'm on LinkedIn. I get my hair done all the time. My wife tells me I spend too much money on my hair. So, you know, it's, you know, these are those things, right? Like, they are on there. So why can't we want to be able to do, like, the average person, they're doing research or looking in, like you said, Google. Well, if you're putting that same content on LinkedIn, it's going to get indexed on Google too. So when people are searching on where they want to go, why not show up, educate them, inspire them, tell them why, you know, why you're the best at what you do, no matter what it is, what industry, and that opportunity to be able to influence that decision-making process, even before they know what they're looking for, is in your court.
Yeah, that's such a good tip. I really didn't know that. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah. That's what we're here for, right? To be able to have fun, have a good conversation, and hopefully, you know, garnish a couple of little key pieces that really will change and affect everyone on that's listening.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think a lot of people just assumed from back in the day is if you want a job, go and look on there because it's recruitment, but it's just completely changed now. It's literally like a Facebook feed.
You got LinkedIn Audio on there. You got LinkedIn Lives they're going through. They've got an amazing newsletter feature that allows that LinkedIn does your work for you, for your audience, that people, you know, follow you and sign up for your newsletter. LinkedIn does the emailing for you and delivers it straight to their inbox, right? Like, all of these things that we're trying to be able to get to our audience, like, LinkedIn's doing the tools for us and providing that, and they're only getting better. And so, yeah, I really think, like, if you're already creating content, like, why not? It's a slight adjustment to be able to go in there and take some time, energy, and effort. I promise you will see some results. If not, you know, if you continue to be able to do it, you can't just do like one post a month and be able to walk away. But doing those 3 posts a week, being able to share that, allowing that audience to come to you, is opportunity missed. It's just, it can create, it's just, what's it going to do other than maybe bring you 1 or 2 more clients, right? Like, it's not going to take much more time, if not more than that.
Why do you have to pay for LinkedIn? Do you recommend that? Or do you think you can still reach the full potential without paying for it?
You don't have to pay for it, right? But we recommend, based on our clients, how we use it. We recommend getting that sales navigator, which is $100 a month, only because we're actively going. You can't, in today's world, you can't just go out and put out content and go, okay, find me, right? There's so many, you're competing against everyone else. I always believe you got to give to receive. And this is kind of why, you know, we use sales navigator, which is LinkedIn's built-in CRM system to identify our audience. The tools on there are amazing. And well, let me ask you this, Katie, if I had to ask you, you know, why does every single person in this world, no matter who you are, where you are, why do we all post online first and foremost?
Want to be seen.
That's one. But the real thing, what we've been conditioned over the last 20 years, is for those little hits of dopamine we all get when someone likes or comments on our post.
Mm.
Because again, we've been conditioned to look for that. After that, then it's to be seen, to get clients, for branding, for marketing. But that first and foremost, you put it out there, go, are we going to be validated? Is someone going to like our post, right? Then it's everything else. And so that's where we use LinkedIn and we use Sales Navigator, because we want to become dopamine dealers, right? I want to be able to go in and identify my audience. If you're my audience, Katie, and I see your post, the average person gets less than 1% engagement in their content. Our clients get a hell of a lot more than that, because what we're doing is we're conditioning them. I see your post. I want to get your attention. I'm going to like your post. I'm going to comment it. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to do something my mom taught me, right? I'm going to appreciate you for something you haven't been appreciated for. Hey, Katie, I saw your recent post. I just want to reach out and say thanks. Really appreciate the value you're adding. Love to be able to connect with you and, you know, talk more, right? Being going in, because the human algorithm online, no matter what platform, is like, comment, share, post, like, comment, share, post. We're in this constant pattern. Mm-hmm. And when you appreciate someone just saying thank you, it creates a stopgap in their pattern, allows them to be able to hear you. And for most of us, we have to understand, we want to connect and then sell, but we forget that it's about connecting, you know, starting a conversation that creates a relationship. A relationship opens up opportunities. And so those are the things that we want to be able to do. And that's why we use Sales Navigator, because I can see, I can go through, target wherever in the world, whatever I want to be able to find, my ideal audience. Then I can also see which of them I posted on LinkedIn in the last 30 days. And now I can be actively activating them to draw them into my circle of influence. So now they see my content, we create those opportunities.
Do you find then you do a lot of personal outreach?
We do, 100%. Yeah. I mean, again, if I see someone I want to be able to connect with, I'm first seeing if they're active, and then I'm actually going in to appreciate them, right? Being able to go through, I mean, to be able to start these conversations and make it about them first, right? Like, honestly, the things that I do are just the things that my mom taught me how to be able to treat other human beings. I'm just doing it online, right? I go out, I appreciate someone. On LinkedIn, you know, the next thing that my mom taught me, Katie, was like when I meet someone new, to give them a compliment, right? Like we all kind of go through like, oh, love your hat, cool shirt, love your dog, whatever it is, right? Cool car. Well, on LinkedIn, most people, they connect and they pitch. We all like, oh,
yeah.
Like, oh, hey, Katie, I see you're wearing a shirt. Me too. Let's connect. You're like, what the hell? And then you get the pitch, right? We all get spammed all the time. But what if we switch that dynamic? I appreciate you for posting something great. You took an action. We connect. And then instead of pitching, I go in and give you a compliment. On LinkedIn, a compliment is like giving an endorsement. There's endorsements on the profile that you can endorse people for different skills. Well, that says LinkedIn goes, hey, Katie, Josh endorsed you for marketing, for branding. Right? Do you want to say thank you? Now it opens up a conversation. You hit that button and we can actually ask about them, right? Provide value, be able to go through based on continuing that conversation. So those are the kind of things that we do that really changes the step and really goes from trying to get clients, which is just a one-to-one kind of business and exhausting, to building advocates. And advocates, one advocate is more powerful than 100 clients, because one advocate can bring me 1,000 clients. Without me having to actively go out and get them.
I love that. So one last thing, and then I'll let you go. Those are listening that are thinking, okay, I need to start this branding lark. I need to start personal brand and get out there more. Where would you tell them to start? What tips would you give them?
Well, first and foremost is figure that XYZ statement out, right? If you can be able to do that, that's where it all starts, being able to go through. I help X to achieve Y so they can have Z. Truthfully, I mean, once you actually figure that out, I mean, think about this, Katie. Like, how many times have you and I been at an event and we walk up to someone like, oh, what do you do? 20 minutes later, we're done, right? They're explaining what they do. And then like, okay, that's, we don't have 20 minutes to be able to do, but if I can go in like, oh, I work with X to do Y so they can have Z, right? Boom, that changes, that shifts. Taking that time, energy, after to be able to do that is amazing. So, you know, that's, and I mean, like, we've got a tool that, you know, I'm happy if anyone actually reach out to me on LinkedIn and say, hey, I listened to Katie. I love her because of X, right? I always love when people tell me, you know, why they listen to the podcast, just like yourself, Katie, because now I get to know you better too. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be able to send them that tool to be able to help them build that XYZ statement.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. So where can people connect? I'm guessing that's LinkedIn. What is the LinkedIn name for everyone? Obviously, we're going to put it in the show notes, but.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, look for me there. Joshua B. Lee, right? I mean, like I'm on there. I'd love to be able to connect with everyone. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, I share information all the time. I mean, I try to do as best as possible every single day, sharing tips on branding, marketing, how to be able to engage with your audience, all those things. And I'd love to be able to connect and get to know everyone.
That's perfect.
I mean, of course, you can also go to Standout Authority too to be our website. But like, seriously, I mean, like that's great if you want to be able to look at that aspect. But I'd rather be able to meet everyone.
Yeah. So definitely, everyone, go and join LinkedIn, because I bet lots of people aren't even part of LinkedIn that listen to this. If you
I'll
are,
be your first friend. Yeah.
Exactly. Go and connect with Joshua and myself, because I'm on there. I'm trying to be present a little bit more on there. And maybe everyone listening to this, we can just make each other accountable and make sure that we do that. But thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I could talk all day, but I will let you go because I know you're extremely busy. So thank you very, very much.
No worries, Kate. Thank you so much. I appreciate everyone listening, and I look forward to connecting with you more.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.